Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Major Tom's Movie Podcast. Today is September 25th, 2021. Before I get into today's main topic, I want to get some off-the-topic stuff out of the way first. This weekend, I'm going to be discussing some of the movies that are going to be coming out next month in October. It's going to be a very loaded month. But it's not the only one that's got some really outstanding stuff coming out. Because November's got some really good stuff, so does December. But that's going to wait until tomorrow, I think. I don't know, I haven't made up my mind about that. I'm also going to be doing a best and worst list of Stephen King adaptations. So you should look forward to that. That's not going to be on the podcast. That's actually going to be on my website, my blog. Now basically, I'm going to go over what I personally believe are the best adaptations of Stephen King's stories, whether they're short stories or full-blown novels. But I'm also going to cover the worst because, quite frankly, there are a few that are doozies. And I want to do my best to make sure you guys avoid those. Or if you're just rabidly curious about how bad a Stephen King adaptation can be. Trust me, they can get really bad. But all that ties into my main topic today, which is a little known but surprisingly fun little cult classic adaptation of Stephen King's called Maximum Overdrive. Released in 1986, Maximum Overdrive is to date the first and only movie directed by Stephen King. Basically, the story is about a bunch of people that are stuck at a truck stop that's being surrounded by a horde of unmanned semi-trucks, which is a result of a meteor that passed by Earth. If this story sounds like it was written by somebody who was on drugs, well, that's because it kind of was. You know, Stephen King was dealing with substance abuse during the 80s. Yet, during the 80s was when some of his more memorable works came out. You know, Misery or The Shining and other movies like that. Now, Stephen King had since come out and admitted that he's had a drug problem and alcohol problem during the 70s and 80s. But he has since been clean. But as a result, he's also come out against his own film. Now, let's be honest here. When this movie came out back in 1986, it got torn to shreds by audiences and critics alike. But over the years, like many good cult classic movies, it found an audience, especially on VHS and eventually DVD. I recently picked this up on Blu-ray through Vestron Video, which is a division of Lionsgate Studios' home entertainment division. Understand this, Maximum Overdrive is definitely a bad movie, but like so many cult classics, it's bad in an awesome kind of way. I mean, it's violent, it's fast-paced, it's got big explosions, but the writing is really, really bad. But I honestly would not call Maximum Overdrive a horror movie. It's more like an action comedy or something like that, because there is nothing scary about it. I mean, there's one jump scare, but everything is incredibly cheesy. If there's a movie to describe the word camp, it would be Maximum Overdrive. The campiness of this movie is next level. I'm talking on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 12. Part of me suspects that Stephen King, when he was directing this movie, kind of knew that he was going for a different kind of tone than the original short story that the movie is based off of. Because, quite frankly, the original short story from his Night Shift collection was very short, but it was very, very dark. And it was very much about our over-reliance on machines. And which is weird because that story was written back in the 70s, so it was clear that Stephen King was thinking about stuff like this way back when. And that's rather impressive. But when Maximum Overdrive came out, it just wasn't as good as something like, say, The Terminator, which came out like 2 years before, which dealt with a similar topic of technology going awry. But that was done in a much better way by a much better filmmaker. I mean, I have to give all sorts of credit to Stephen King for actually trying his hand at directing, even though he had no prior experience being a director. I mean, you could absolutely tell that this was definitely a first-time director, because, you know, some shots go on for too long. And as a writer, the dialogue in this movie is legitimately awful, and he really wasn't able to get good performances out of his actors, because some of them really go over the top, like, say, Pat Hingle, who plays the sleazy boss of the truck stop. But he also couldn't get a really good performance out of Emilio Estevez, who's the hero of the movie. Now, everybody else is just kind of there, but there is a one scene that I have to admit is really kind of funny. That's when the waitress is going outside. This is at night, and she's confronting these machines by saying, "We made you." And the way she does it is so cartoonish and so over the top. You can't take it seriously. Her mannerisms, of the way she moves, it's like, am I watching a cartoon here? Or are they trying to be serious? Because it's not working. It's hilarious. Now, some of it might be on purpose, but I think a lot of it really wasn't. That's just how it came off as. But Pat Hingle is also fantastic, because he definitely goes over the top as the sleazy boss. You know, he's a cigar-chewing, mustache-twirling villain of sorts who's trying to keep his thumb on his workers like Bill, who's played by Emilio Estevez. Now, I have to say that the marketing definitely did this movie no favors, because the main trailer featured Stephen King himself basically saying, if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. Or, somebody's got to do Stephen King right. And, that didn't go according to plan, because it was a terrible trailer. But as bad as this movie is, there's a lot I really love about it. I mean, there's a generally unspoken rule in horror movies that you're not supposed to kill kids on screen, or animals for that matter. Maximum Overdrive steamrolls a kid. Literally. It literally comes out of left field and runs over this kid. It's supposed to be horrifying, but I couldn't help myself but laugh at the whole thing. Mostly because apparently there's a couple seconds that were actually shaved off this particular death, in which the kid's head was supposed to explode, but it was just too much for the MPAA at the time. The movie would have gotten an X rating, so there have been a few seconds here and there that have been cut out of the movie to cut back on the gore. It's still very, very bloody. People still get run over by vehicles and stuff like that. I mean, there's also an image of a bloodied up lawnmower, which apparently turned against its owner and ran him over. Because, you know, with those blades, not a whole lot's going to be left. So, yeah, this was the 80s, when they didn't give a shit. Basically, most of the rules kind of got tossed out the window. Because, you know, again, they're pushing the envelope in terms of violence. What I will give Stephen King credit for here is that the stuff that actually does work, it works. You know, some of the cinematography is actually pretty good. Some of the chase sequences are pretty thrilling. And the explosions are awesome, and there's a lot of it. I mean, Stephen King loves to blow shit up in his movies. If you really want proof of that, look no further than the movie Firestarter, also based on one of his works, but not directed by him, obviously. It was just a lot of fun, a lot of fire. Stephen King seems to be like a kid in the candy store when he gets his hands on pyrotechnics, because some of these characters use a rocket launcher, which, honestly, this particular rocket launcher, it's weird because it's one of those one-shot rocket launchers, and then you throw the whole thing away. You can't really reload it, or you're actually not supposed to, otherwise something bad's going to happen. But, you know, it's not like reality is the name of the game here. You're talking about machines that are turning against people and killing them. Again, Stephen King admitted that he was coked out of his mind when he made this movie, so he was flying by the seat of his pants, and you can absolutely tell that he was coked out of his mind because some of the stuff here is absolutely insane. Good? No. But insane. It's definitely an 80s movie, specifically a mid-80s movie. It's a lot of schlock, it's over the top, it's violent, it's funny. In my opinion, it's actually worth the entry fee because it moves at a frenetic pace, and for a movie that's only, 98 minutes, it flies by really quickly. And I'll be honest, I would rather watch this over F9, the Fast Saga, any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Maximum Overdrive might be a bad movie, but it knows it's a bad movie, and it just rolls with it. Also, it's all done to the soundtrack that's done by legendary metal group AC/DC. Now, to be honest, I'm not a fan of AC/DC. I don't like their style of music. I don't like their style of singing. But Stephen King was clearly a fan, so he used them to do the soundtrack to this movie. And it features some classic songs from AC/DC's Who Made Who album. Honestly, if you're looking for a way to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours, you could certainly do worse than Maximum Overdrive. And in fact, if you really like these kinds of movies, I actually highly recommend it. You just have to be aware that Maximum Overdrive is not Stephen King's best. And like I said at the beginning of this podcast, it's the only movie he's ever directed. And it's a shame because I think of what are the lessons that he could have learned from this experience he could put towards another movie. But he's been busy, you know, obviously doing a lot of writing for more books and other short stories and stuff like that. So he claims to not have the time, and he probably doesn't. And to be honest, it's okay. You know, some of the stuff that he's put out that's been adapted, you know, like Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, and The Mist, have absolutely been fantastic. But some of the other stuff, not so much. But I don't think there's really a truly horrendous Stephen King adaptation. Obviously, some are better than others, but it's kind of is what it is. You know, it's the nature of the beast when you're adapting a short story or a full-blown novel, although adapting short stories is an issue because you kind of have to throw in some extra ideas that weren't necessarily in the original short story in order to bring the runtime up to a reasonable level. At the same time, adapting a larger novel means you have to kind of take stuff out because not everything in a novel will work on the big screen. It's the nature of the medium. And sometimes adaptations just don't work, period. So yeah, Maximum Overdrive is grade B schlock at its worst and best. Honestly, it's not the worst movie to come out of the 80s. Believe you me, there's a lot worse to be had out there during that time period. Maximum Overdrive is at least smart enough to be fun while being stupid at the same time. I believe you can find Maximum Overdrive on some VOD platforms, but it's also available on Blu-ray right now through Vestron Video, through Lionsgate. It's got two different audio commentaries, one with writer Tony Magistrale, author of Hollywood's Stephen King, another audio commentary by actor and comedian Jonah Ray and Blumhouse film executive Ryan Turek. You've also got a bunch of interviews with producers, actors, special effects artists. Then you've also got the original theatrical trailer. You've got TV spots, still gallery, and behind-the-scenes footage. It's a really solid offering in terms of special features. But because it's an older movie, the visual quality isn't that great. But the audio is outstanding, and the soundtrack, as much as I don't like AC/DC, it kicks ass. So those are my thoughts on Maximum Overdrive. Let me know what you think. If you've seen it, let me know in the comments. If you're curious about what other Stephen King adaptations are out there that you should probably look at, I can also give you some recommendations. But again, I'll save that particular list for my best worst episode on my blog. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. So, this is Major Tom signing off for the night. Stay safe and have fun.